breath of life. And Lord, we thank you for this place, this time, Lord God, where we can meet together in your name. And Lord, amidst every difficulty, every struggle, Lord, every question, Lord God, that each and every one of us has, Lord God, at this time, in the different places that we're at, Father, we pray, Lord God, this day for, Lord, the refreshing and the strengthening of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray, Father God, that you, Lord, who leads and guides us into all truth, would lead us and guide us into the truth about what is going on. And Lord, what it is that we need to know from you, Lord, this day to walk through this life, what you intended and planned for us, Father. So Lord, right now, Lord, we're anxious about nothing. But in all things, Lord, with prayer and supplication, we make our requests known to you. And we request this day, Lord, for your peace that passes all understanding, Lord, to guard our hearts and to fill our lives and to flood each and every one of us, Father. And Lord, right now, Lord God, I acknowledge openly there's nothing good in me but your Spirit. So to your Spirit I yield. I pray, Father God, in this time, Lord, that you would just speak to each and every one of us, Father, the word we need as we go forward, Lord. And we bind every demonic spirit, every assignment of the devil, we break it in Jesus' name. And go on, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Okay, John chapter 10 and verse 10. I was thinking about this one a little bit. Okay. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Okay. You know, I was, this one was in my head for a while. Okay. Ultimately, we've talked before about just there being two kingdoms, two paths, two decisions that people make while they're in this life. So either people choose the kingdom of light or the kingdom of darkness. Either they choose to bow their knee before the King of Kings or the Prince of the Power of this world. And it's a spiritual connection, it's a heart connection. So people in this life, whether they live in Bombay, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, New York, Los Angeles, Shanghai, wherever they are, every soul that comes into this world makes this choice and makes this decision. And some people, say someone living on the beach here, will probably never see New York City. And likewise, someone living in New York City, it's very unlikely that that person will see Inner Mongolia. They might, but it's a very small chance. And someone born in a railway station in India, on the platform, may never see anything outside of just that railway station. So someone that is born there as a child and maybe maimed to be a good beggar, so they'll cut off an arm, cut off two legs, blinded, that person may spend their entire existence in a very, very small area. So people live their existences in this world, and many of them never have an overlap of what other people are going on somewhere else.
විතරක් අතුබලා ඉන්නවා වෙනත් ජීවිතවලින් බලපෑම වෙනත් දේවල් වලට යොමු වෙන්නේ නැතුව තමන්ගේම සීමාවකට කොටු වෙලා ඉන්නවා ඇති.
Now today with something like the internet, you can see what the news is maybe coming from China or coming from America or coming from North Korea. You see news, okay.
Then antarjale nisa apita samallata China wala China China me korthiya katta asanna naththam dakinna labena.
But even the news that comes, it's what someone there decides to tell you of one of a thousand things they could tell you. So, for example, I can tell you, okay, there was a rainy monsoon season and people lost 50 houses.
දැන් මට කියන්න පුළුවන් දැන් මේ මොන්සූන් ඒක එතුණාට වැස්සක් දින්දා මේ ගෙවල් 50 විතර විනාශ වුණා කියලා.
Or I can tell you, we did this a loan program and 100 people got new jobs. And both things happen in the exact same place, but one thing is being emphasized and one thing is being withheld from people. So even now in the world, when information is coming and going, people, they're telling you what they want you to hear, whoever it is that's representing that information.
Then noikut poathi loke sidu unath e poathi kiyena kena tamante ismathu karala pennana one yam karanayak pamanai ismathu vela pennenne.
And every person has a spirit behind them for what they're presenting and why they're presenting it to you. You know, before, I'm just thinking of in America, before America, when the Russians were invading in America, before, everyone was talking about Afghanistan freedom fighters and we must help them.
Then America,
you remember the movie Rambo 3? Did you anyone see the movie Rambo 3?
Rambo 2 kela me
3
kela me Rambo 3 kela me chitrapatiya
thiyena. So there was like 5 Rambo movies, so then third one Rambo goes over to Afghanistan to help these people fight, these freedom fighters fight the really bad Russians that are there.
Eke kotas pahak thiyena thunweni kotase danan karana e a geela kohomada attatama satan satan bimeedi satan karala e nidasa wenne me egalan
And if you watch that movie, you know, they're riding horses and he's helping them and they're fighting this really big, strong Russian army. Now go forward 15 years to where we are today, and now it's not the freedom fighters in Afghanistan, but now these are the Taliban terrorists, are the same thing that were one time before being supported as, you know, these are people we need to help, they're freedom fighters, and now, oh, these are terrorists and they're against American interests and they hate us because we love freedom.
ඇත්තටම පවුරු 15කට පස්සේ බැලුවොත් දැන් තලිබානයේ කට්ටිය ඒගොල්ලෝ නිදර්ශන සටන් කරා කියලා කිව්වට ඒගොල්ලන් සත්‍යවාදී හැටියට නම් ලක් කරලා ඔවුන් ප්‍රකාශ කරන්න ලැබුවා.
I'm just talking about the movies now and I'm talking about the news today. That's all I'm talking about.
චිත්‍රපටි ගැන කතා කරන්න ආවනේ ඒ කෝල්ටි එලිදක් වෙන ඒ ආකාරයෙන් පෙන්වන්න තමයි ආවේ.
In fact, you go watch that movie and then check the news, and amazing how all of a sudden, you know, one time somebody's everyone's best friend and the next time they don't like them. Okay, so you have people living all over the world, some people never, ever, ever experiencing what someone is experiencing in another place, ever even having an idea of what they experience.
ඒ ස්ථානයේ වඩා අනිත් කෙනාගේ අත්දැකීම අනිත් මිනිස්සුගේ
And we have information coming to us from different sources, but the information that comes to us depends on what it is that they want you to believe and how they want you to perceive something. So if people want you to see something in a favorable light, they'll do everything they can to show you the best side of something. If they want you to see the worst side of something, everything bad with that place is there. So like now Sri Lanka, 2011 is the year to visit Sri Lanka. The Sri Lanka tourism, the president has said, Sri Lanka, come and visit Sri Lanka in
2011.
And when you visit, drive really fast so you can get past the largest refugee camp in the entire world. No, I mean it'll actually, if you let the world, everything going on, if you let it all come at you at once, it could drive you insane. It really could. It could make your mind really have a problem. Because there's so much confusion, so much pain, so much suffering, so many people that are in difficult situations going through this life. And when you look for truth and honesty and integrity in the world, you never ever find it. See, why is truth so valuable and so important? Okay, if you had a medical condition, if you don't know the truth about what you have, how can you treat it? You need to know the truth about what's going on in your body if there's something that you can do to help your body recover, right? But if a doctor won't tell you the truth, you might as well have never talked to him because you still don't know anything. So truth is, because truth doesn't change. Truth has a running thing. There is one truth. But we also know we live in a world where the devil is the father of lies, and most people default to that side. And people will tell you the truth if it's the most profitable, beneficial thing for them, otherwise they'll lie to you. Now in the world. Okay. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Okay. In all that's going on in the entire world system, this is what he's doing. Stealing, killing, and destroying. Now, when somebody chooses, okay, so say someone is going down the path of life, they're just starting out, and now they come to a decision point. Do you choose to go to the kingdom of light and to bow your knee before Christ, or do you choose to go the way of the world and serve selfishness, the devil, Lucifer, right?
Then
when somebody is choosing that way, they are choosing a path where stealing, killing, and destroying is what comes out of that path. Now, if you are part of the world system, part of the world hierarchy, if you're part of that pyramid,
then
the higher that you get in that system, the more control you get in that system is based on your ability to steal and to kill and to destroy.
Okay.
Think about this. If you were the devil, not the, think for a second, you're the devil. And if you're the devil and you have to decide, okay, who gets to have a big position in my system? Who do I promote? Who do I give really big titles and big abilities to make big decisions in what's going on here? Who do I use? Okay, I use the people that are the most given over to my goal and my objective, which would be to steal and to kill and to destroy, right? So when you see in the world system the people that have position in politics, in religious systems, in entertainment, you go down the list of anything that's part of the world system, the people that have rank and position by and large are the ones that are effective in the goals that the world system has. Now the wheat and the tares does grow together, but the Joseph and the Daniel are very, very rare.
Then Joseph Daniel
So in the entire kingdom of Babylon, you only had Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. In all of Egypt, you only had one Joseph. And he took a long time to get to that place. And after the Pharaoh died there, they forgot about Joseph as well, and it went on to complete oppression. There are times where there is no Joseph. There's times where there is no one in that spot. And we're moving into more of a season like that around the world where there's no one in those positions. Now, this shouldn't be a surprise for followers of Christ. We shouldn't be surprised when the police show up with guns to take away apartments from people that were supposed to be given them. That shouldn't be a surprise for us. We shouldn't be surprised when people mess with the food chain and chemicals and all of those things. When people eat food, they're actually getting sick from the food they're eating. We shouldn't be surprised when we start seeing bribery and corruption, and that's the norm of the world system. And I think sometimes what gets wrong though for us is inside of us we know this isn't right, and inside of our hearts we know that this is not the way things are supposed to be. But we speak when God gives us the opportunity to speak. We allow God to use us to shine His light into situations when that time is there. But we realize we live in a dark world. Okay, in the middle of all this stealing, all this killing, and all of this destroying that's going on around us, and the truth is that everyone that goes the way of the world is destroyed. Everyone. In the middle of all of this, Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, I was thinking about this. Okay, Jesus didn't, in the middle of this raging system going on where people have lost their minds, the reason I say they lost their minds is because God is the source of all wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. So if you're disconnected from Him, you have no wisdom, you have no knowledge, you have no understanding. So you may have worldly cunning, but you have no intelligence. But in the middle of all of that that's going on, and God says, alright, I've come that they might have life. And that they might have it more abundantly. Now, sometimes, and I've been wrestling with this one a little bit. I'm like, okay, abundant life. In the middle of this whole soup we're living in. Okay, what does that abundant life look like? I want to know, what is that abundant life really that God promised? Okay, because I've heard these satanic preachers, these ones that serve the world system, you know, their thing is, oh, okay, abundant life is if you have 5 cars and a big house, and because you have abundance. No, you have this material. And if that was the case, then every wealthy person in the world should be the most happy, most fulfilled people in the world. And we know that's not true. Because there have been, even this last year, not millionaires, billionaires. Billionaires killing themselves. So obviously that's not it. Nor is being absolutely poor, that's not it either. Okay, But the one thing about when you don't have is that at least you see things a little bit clearer. It's a little... Because you have a few less distractions. But the abundant life that God promises, it doesn't have to do with the material state. You remember Matthew 6? Where Jesus had said, here, let's actually flip there real quick, but keep your finger in John 10. Matthew chapter 6, where he said, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Okay. Now the passage talking about whatever your needs are, God said you seek first the kingdom, your needs will be supplied and taken care of. And he also puts an admonition in there right after saying that, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now why would Jesus need to throw that in there? Why would he need to put that extra right there after he said, look, I'll seek first the kingdom, your needs will be taken care of? And why would he right after that statement have to say, don't worry about tomorrow, don't even, he said, don't take a thought for tomorrow, for the sufficient for today is the evil thereof. Well, because in one respect, you know that this day, you don't know what will happen tomorrow, for one. You don't know if you'll be here tomorrow. So much can happen in 24 hours. The world can change in 24 hours very easily. Your world can change in 24 hours. Something good can happen, something difficult can happen. Sometimes death of a family member or something like that happens. All of a sudden people, the whole thing that they were planning for the week, the month, the year, just disappears. But take no thought for the morrow. The reason so many people worry is because they're consistently taking thought for the morrow. They're consistently worried about their future state and their state because they are stuck in what the problem is they have right now and they're projecting into the future. That fear will paralyze you. That fear will absolutely paralyze you. It will keep you from following God, and it will lock you into a carnal mindset and a desire to follow what the world says, because the world will offer you something.
අපිව නවත්තලා අපි දෙවියන් වහන්සේ සොයන දේ අපිව බාධා කරයි. උන්වහන්සේ වෙතට යෑම අපිට නැති කරයි.
That fear of the morrow, that fear of what is to come, will lock you into not following Christ when He says, let's go. See, this is part of the challenge for people that are choosing to walk with Christ. Is do you trust Him? Do you trust Him when things don't necessarily go so well? Okay, now back to He came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly, right? Okay, the abundant life that God promised, we know it's not to do with materialism. Does it have to do with us avoiding difficult circumstances and difficult situations? Do we get to avoid pain and heartache and problems? We went through Acts 15, right? Last time, Acts 15, Acts 16. We're in Acts... Actually, go Acts 16. We're in verse 8, and they and passing through Mysia came to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Now you jump forward 15 verses. And if you read the next 15 verses, you see how from following this vision and this direction that God is leading them, because Jesus came that they might have abundant life, right? And in the abundant life, they now have been beaten up, their backs have been ripped open, they're now in a dungeon, and they're singing praises to God. Jesus, the ultimate example, yes? Goes to the cross of His free will. Now, God, isn't there an irony here? Isn't there a paradox here? Jesus comes that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. And in the whole John chapter 10 is talking about Him being the good shepherd, leading His sheep know His voice and follow Him. And here are sheep following Jesus, and they follow Him right into a beating and an imprisonment. A false accusation. Isn't that amazing? And how many people would say, just like Job's friends, "Oh brother, you missed God somewhere along the line. You must have sinned. You must have done something really wrong to be in this position." They are great friends Job's got, no? These great friends. Here's Job. He's lost everything. Everything that he had in this world. Everything that was his children. His children, all the 7 sons, 3 daughters, just like that, gone. All of his possessions, everything in his own body, the Job experience. And now here show up his 3 friends like crows around him. You must have done something wrong. You should be repenting to God for your sin. And that statement of Job's, even though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he lead me into a dungeon situation, yet will I trust him. Though he takes me into a difficult path, though I walk through where? The valley of the shadow of death, I will... Why are you walking in the valley of the shadow of death? Why are you there? Unless you are following the leading and the guiding of the Spirit of God who's taking you through that. He could have led you in a nice big grassy meadow with a bunch of other sheep and all, "Oh, this is happy and sun's shining," and no. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Now this is life eternal, John 17:3, that they might know thee, the one true living God, and your Son Jesus Christ whom you've sent. So God leads us into difficult and trying situations. And He allows for us to experience all of it. You know, something I'm starting to see is part of what this abundant life is God allowing you to experience all of it. So God allowing you to experience difficulty and pain and heartbreak. Along with joy and success and something happening and the miracle power of prayer, He lets you experience all of it. Because in the experience that we have, in the experience that we go through, we also, like Job, come to a point, yea, though he, even even if whatever situation I may go through, I will continue to hold on to Him to the very end. And Paul said, I am persuaded that he is able. You know, he's able to perform exceedingly abundantly past anything I can expect or think. And it's a surrender that we have when we choose the path of light, when we choose the path of life, we choose a path where we come into a place of complete and total dependence on the Spirit of God. And we allow Him to take us through all of it. And at the close of it, there is an abundant life that you have lived and have experienced. And at any moment, if you were to stop and look, you can see, if looking back, the absolute faithfulness of God along the way. And with that, we stop there because...